anything, just toils and snares.
Love you, brother.
Help us stand occasionally. Lord be with you, brother Stan.
Thank you, brother Gary. Brother Rabin Lord from South Georgia used to say to folks that I've never preached more than an hour and a half, so you pretty much know how long we might be here. Trouble is that Rabin Lord could preach for an hour and a half. I wish that I could. And I see looks on some faces that might suggest they think I have. And Brother Gary asked me if I wanted the fan on, and it doesn't make my hair, put my hair out of place anymore like it might have when I was young. But my wife was cutting my hair the other evening about dark. When you have hair like this, you can cut it in the dark. It doesn't really matter. But at any rate, the little whine of the clippers attracted an owl that was flew down lit in a tree. I saw it. Well, the next thing it is, it headed right for Miss Vicky, and I was thinking, my hair's not going to get cut. This owl is chasing her right off the porch. So sometimes when you live in the woods and you make the wrong kind of noises, you attract things that feed and hunt by sound. There is a sound that the searching heart looks for.
Amen.
There is a sound of the gospel that is food to the soul. And we trust that when we gather at the Lord's house, that we hear that in the prayer, we hear it in singing, that we hear it in the preaching. And Brother Jamie mentioned last evening about some particular time he remembered or a particular text. We need to always remember that preaching comes from God.
Amen.
There is, I realize, many things that have changed in the world we live in. Change is a constant. As a little boy, meetings were routinely two hours. Nobody minded. We didn't have any place to go. And when we broke for dinner, it was often decided, well, we'll just have preaching again this afternoon. It was routine, depending on how many visitors you might have had or might have been there. But they were seeking, searching, longing for the Word of God to enrich their lives. Amen. Provide them with comfort, provide them with the word of their salvation, assurance, and food for their souls. So when we think about all of those things that have transpired in the past and the world we come to today, I never fault the young that sometimes have difficulty bearing with the length of service or being attentive. Taught school for a lot of years, and I know that by nature children don't have a long attention span, but you can teach them how to expand it. Surely we as children of God ought not be so ready to hit the door or so ready to have lunch or so jealous of our own time that we don't have time for the service of the Lord.
Amen.
And I promise that I try to make that my focus all of the time, is that the slings and arrows of folks who want their service tight, compact, regimented, and ordered, I have no patience for that. I'm just too old to be there, too cranky to be there, and I would rather serve the Lord out of the sincerity of my heart than to serve you. But serving you is what I'm called to do.
Amen.
As a servant of the Lord. So when we think about feeding the flock of God, I'd like to say, when Brother Jamie said that Jacob, Israel, leaned upon his staff, he gave commandment concerning his bones. He said, when the Lord visits you and he takes you out of this place, you take my bones, and he will visit you.
Right.
It's a marvelous thing that Jacob, in his own experiences, the same as his father, the same as Abraham, that God gave them promises. And when he called that seed, when that was Abraham's seed, that was a promised seed, then we ought not question that God would be with every successive generation of that seed. Because that's what he promised. That he was with Abraham and made a promise to Abraham is just as certain that he would be with Isaac and fulfilled that promise. And just as certain that he would be with Jacob. And that while from the time of the promise, 430 years, but Jacob knew that his family Israel was leaving Egypt because God had promised it. I know this for the children of God. I know this for the church of God. That God has promised. And his promise does not rest on how well we perform. His blessings often are regulated by our performance. And I say that to the born-again children of God.
Right.
Not that your performance is orchestrated, but I'm talking about the work and the labor we do in the kingdom of God. That blessings are withheld. We also understand we live in a world where it rains on the just and the unjust.
Yes.
There are millions that don't know anything about God and could care less. That have blessings of God in the land we live, in the air we breathe, and the benevolence of God upon the earth. there's a special blessing that God gives to his family. Special blessings to his children, to his church. And when we think about the many things, I believe Happy Creek Church was established 1770. It's a long time. But in many respects, the gospel was very mature by that day.
Sure.
But it had also been transformed, or we might say reformed. The gospel had always been the gospel. But there were many fallings away over the years. And when we think about the early church and we think about the Apostle Paul, we read in the book of Acts the things that he went through. There was a great confrontation every day between the secular world, the world that he lived in, and the gospel, the kingdom of God. And when we think about that time, about AD 300, like when, can't think of the name, the king, joined church and state together, become the great conglomerate of religion, and persecuted everyone that worshiped God in simplicity and in truth for the most part. And that grew and grew and grew and grew. But in different, various places, and constantly, God had a family that he was blessing. Mm-hmm. Light, truth, and the sound of the gospel. Because God's always been as good as his promise. I guarantee you that God keeps his promises. But oftentimes in this world there are trials and tribulations, and we face those. And the Apostle Paul in his day endured many afflictions. I would like to speak to you from 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians. We all know the apostle's story. We understand the many things that transpired in his life. How that he was a persecutor of the church. How he was fairly thought that he did God a favor by persecuting the saints. We also know that he was a very learned man as far as the Jews' religion was concerned. That he excelled above many of his own equals. And that as far as men's credentials were concerned, he had it. Okay? A Hebrew of the Hebrews. And in places he mentions that. But when we think about the gospel church and how easy it is for me, for you, just step backwards for a bit. I can travel in 4 hours what would have probably taken my grandfather at least 3 days and good luck days. And he was a visiting, traveling preacher. My dad could fix 4 flat tires on the way to church. Never get his cuffs dirty. I don't know how. And I'm not talking about taking one tire off and putting another one on. I'm talking about pulling the tube out, patching the tube, hot patching on the side of the road, put it back in, pump it up, put it back on the car, go 5 miles and blow another tire. It's amazing. I can just tell you, okay? And it should be to our shame. We can have a hangnail and not make it. And when we think about being weak in the faith, and we think about where did God go, and we think about what is empty in our churches, and we think about all of those things, I am telling you that sometimes blessings don't come our way because we have faltered in the way.
Amen.
Amen.
There's no doubt about it. At 80 years old, my grandmother had more energy for church than I have sometimes. Because she didn't have her life fixed on the things of this world. The most frivolous thing she ever done was listen to Johnny Dollar on Sunday evenings on the radio, because she lived up a holler a mile and a half away from the nearest neighbor, and she was as serene and secure and as happy in her existence as anyone I ever knew. Where did it come from? Because she was never alone. Never alone. You ever like, I mean, never alone. When we think about that wonderful song that the songwriter says, never alone. Well, this Apostle Paul, and all of these things, that God turned his life around, brought him to the ground, and made him a minister. Chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The religious world abhors the very thought that somebody might be lost that could have been saved. I am telling you that when it says, okay, anything about the lost, I want you to understand that if they are lost, they're not lost to God. Okay? The scripture tells us that the things of this world have blinded some folks. There is a wicked that God never chose. There is a wicked that dishonors God and can do nothing but dishonor God, because the love of God is not in their heart. But there are those in whom God has given faith, has opened their eyes, but the gods of this world have blinded them. And I can tell you this, that kind of lost can very well be found. Sometimes when we are preaching the gospel, you have to tear down what some folks believe in order to make room for what God says.
Amen. Okay? Right.
Worst thing I ever had was a student that knew everything. You know? That's hard.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? Brother Robert, I would like to add Brother Robert with me. I used to do construction work. Had an old Oshkosh truck. Had a sticker on the side of the wall about tire sizes that said, I looked at it on rainy days, the rolling circumference, parentheses, pi times radius squared, blah, 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 something, brackets, something, something, would regulate what tire size you could put on that truck. There wasn't a man on our job and understood what that meant. Okay? I mean, we never was going to change tires on that anyway, okay? You know, sometimes people have religion that if you're going to figure it out, you know, you have to parse every word and everything, okay? And you know what? Everybody has his own mind.
Amen.
Everybody has their own thoughts about what it is. And I'm telling you that sometimes they're really sincere. Sometimes I believe they're children of God. But there have been so many dark curtains drawn over their sight and their understanding that they would rather believe men than to believe God.
Yes.
I've had people tell me all of the time, like, well, you know, I believe exactly what you... I don't know whether you do or not. I don't know whether you do or not, because to believe what I believe does not relieve me of just doing what's convenient.
Amen, brother.
Or going where mother went. Or where grandmother went.
That's right, brother.
And the Apostle Paul had more of that battle to fight than anyone in this room or all of us collectively. Because he was set for big things. But you know what? seeing that we have received this ministry, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We have not. Do you know what? One of the big things is that when they were first televising, the televangelists, when these things first started happening and they found out that, hey, you can make a fort.
Right.
You can build an empire this way.
Right.
You know how many people jumped on that bandwagon? Turn on your cable channels today and see how many of those people are operative. Filling 10,000 seat stadiums three times a day. Like a big attraction. And what is it all about? In the meanwhile, there's some poor old frayed cuff, dingy smelling hard shell Baptist that's preaching you the pure gospel of the Son of God and couldn't get somebody to bring him a chicken for dinner. You understand what I'm saying? That is what people in the past have endured, my friends. And sometimes when I look at the things we are, Paul says, seeing that we've received this ministry, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. This is not my way of making a living. This is not my way to be somebody. This is not the kind of thing that makes a man famous, healthy, wealthy, and wise. At this age, I'm very worn. And sometimes being worn, we get to the point we ask, when? How long? I don't know. But I know this. And I want you to listen to the things that the Apostle Paul, for the gospel's sake, for his people's sake, he says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Other places in the Corinthians, he said, now we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador is? He is an emissary from one country that goes to another to represent his country over there. Where was Paul an ambassador from? From God, whose world, whose home, whose domain is not only this earth, but in heaven of the heavens. Okay? He is, as far as the power of the earth is concerned, is that he is God. When he called Paul, who said he was an ambassador, he's representing God wherever he goes. He represents the kingdom of God. When we think about it, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's presumptuous to believe that a gospel minister, that whatever order that you're in, it's preposterous to believe that we should pass ourselves off as if we were something besides men.
You're right.
It's preposterous. It's preposterous that we have one great dignitary that visits from Italy by way of South America, by way of corrupt governments, and presents himself in countries all over the world, and everybody is supposed to pronate themselves before God, before this man who's supposedly a man of God. I knew an old boy. He's dead and gone. But he was in Europe after the war, and they all had an audience with the Pope. And he said, here I am, a hard shell Baptist, bred and born. Okay, if I ever believed anything, I believed in sovereign grace, and we're in a line, and we're going to greet the great man himself. And he said, when he come closer and these guys would bow and kiss the ring, he said, I would back up another. I'd back up another, and after a while they declared it was over, and he said I could quit backing up. You understand what it is that we stand before God today? We stand before the God of the heavens. And I can tell you this, when God sends the Holy Spirit of God, which is God, down amongst us, and when He puts it in your heart, that we need to obey that which God has put in our heart above all of the laws of men. Amen. And all of the cares and the provincial and the things, the protocols of men. When we think about it, when they say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Well, I can tell you this, that we can turn on our television and watch all of the pomp and the ceremony of all of those things. But I can tell you what, back in the day when I was a kid, it wouldn't even have been watched. For the particular reason that it is an absolute travesty to believe that any flesh, blood, man is God's vicar on earth.
Right. Exactly. Amen.
Absolutely not. We live in a world where if you are that far and you're that contrary to the norms, then nobody wants to hear you. You want to know how to pack a church? Find out what the majority of folks believe, and that's what you say. You don't offend anyone. No one's offended with you. You don't offend any of them. And everything goes along just smooth. And you don't have meetings on Saturday because we're busy. Well, the fact is that God didn't establish His church on the rules of men.
Amen.
The concerns of men. And when we think that if God called Paul to this ministry, He would have certainly paved the way with some flowery beds of ease. God's not promised us that.
Amen.
We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. I want you to think about this just for a moment. Troubled on every side. Rehearse to yourself what kind of troubles you got today. Just let it come to the forefront of your mind. The number one thing. We're not going to poll. We're not going to say, well, you tell your story. Just think about the one thing that comes into your mind right today. And I would be the first person to tell you that what comes to my mind is difficult. Every one of us has some kind of problem. We may be in a good patch. But we know what a bad patch looks like. A month or so ago, everything I had was broke. I was afraid to turn on the faucet and get a drink of water. I was afraid it would break too. But do you know what? How could it really be a problem when you have the means to have it taken care of?
Amen.
I'm talking about when those things come that you are incapable.
Nope.
You have no solution for them whatsoever. When they're bigger than you are. When they're bigger than anything that you know. When, as the prodigal who was down at the hog trough and fain would have filled his belly, but he knew there was only one place that was right for him to go. It was very odious for a Jew to be feeding swine. And it was something that God had put in his heart that he would not do, that he would not eat with them. He fain would have filled his belly with the swine of what the swine did eat, but it came to him. I said this a few weeks ago, that nothing ever occurred to God, but things occur to men on occasion. And when it said he came to himself, it means it occurred to him. Okay, I am in this misery, but the servants, I would not be a servant in my Father's house, But the servants in his house have bread to eat and to spare. And here I am in this misery. I am telling you today, my friends, that there is a joy that's in the house of God that transcends all of the despair that you might have in this world. I am telling you that God can give you comfort when you lay your head on a pillow at night, when there are a thousand things that you can't change, that they trouble you, that they nag at you, they weary you in this life. But I am telling you, the Apostle Paul had that despair. Oh, ye Corinthians, he says. How many of them were miserable? How many of them, he says, of such were some of you. You know, there's a line in the world today that nobody calls sin, sin. Because people might think, well, that would keep you out. You know, it's not sin if everybody agrees that it's all right. Well, you take that up with God.
Amen.
Okay? Yeah. Amen, brother.
So when you consider this, the Apostle Paul, you would just think, I might just listen for a minute. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. How many of you are troubled? I am. Can we say with the Apostle Paul, though, not distressed? We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. What Paul is telling them is that this is what faces me. Why should any of us think that this is not, or at least a portion of this, wouldn't come our way? Especially ministers. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live and are always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. What, you know what we don't understand? That Paul was risking his life every day.
Amen.
We think about the founding of this country, and we think about those men that wrote that Declaration of Independence. How much is it on our hearts to understand that they were committing an act of tyranny? That they were rebelling against a king that had the power to put them in prison or to take their head. But yet they felt there was some higher reason for what they did. And although that Paul was in this great catastrophe every day, I'm not in despair. Jacob was in the wilderness. Jacob was down in Egypt. And when he was old, leaning on his staff, gave commandment concerning his bones, that Israel had not yet been taken out of Egypt. But he knew what? That God was going to come and do that very thing, according to his time. You know what Apostle Paul says? Why he's not in despair? Because God's going to give me what he promised. God is as good as his word. So when we think about it, he said, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus and shall present us with you.
Amen.
Paul says, bearing about in our body, persecuted, hated, that they might represent a suffering, dying Jesus. But the fact that they were not in despair, that they were raised, and that even though they had these great afflictions, they got up and went to work again the next day. They just kept preaching the gospel, representing the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We're downcast, but we're not destroyed. You know, sometimes when we have troubles in this world, and we read these things, and we get the idea that that it's just more than life can be, then it's more than we can stand. You know, Brother Robert mentioned something this morning. You know, we think that we look at our resources and we think, I can't continue on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have taken care of today, but tomorrow the wolf will be at the door. Well, I've had that occasion many, many times. I mean, it looked to me like, I don't know. The only reason they're not come dragging us out of here is because we own the place and they couldn't get nothing out of it anyway. But you know what? When you get to the point where the wolf is at the door, but it's not until tomorrow. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
That we're not called on to give it up today. It may be tomorrow. It may be soon. It can't be long. But while I live, let us live our life according to the power of the Almighty God. And that we bear about in our body the marks of the Lord Jesus and sufferings, but we also bear in our mortal body the resurrection from the dead that God keeps raising us up day after day to carry us forward as it pleases Him. So when we think about it, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It's a marvelous thought. The outward man. This flesh has its troubles. But the inward man is renewed.
Amen.
And the more experience he has, and the more renewings that God sends, the more confident he is that he could say, yes, I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. I'm forsaken. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. God knows every ounce of my suffering.
Amen.
We have folks in here who have loved ones that are dying. We have folks in here, I can't help but be here. I can't help but think of Sister Betty. Family, friend, church member. I can tell you this. How much she suffered, I don't know. And how much we miss her is all written on our hearts. But I can tell you that Betty is not longing to come back to old Happy Creek Church. I can tell you that dads and mothers, Carlton and Sister Priest, are not longing to come back and sit with us in Happy Creek Church. I am telling you, there's no saint in heaven that's singing before the throne of God, singing a song that angels cannot sing, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, would like to be in one more old hard shell meeting, because they have that which we see forward.
Amen.
Paul says we're distressed, but the outward man perisheth. You don't have hopes of this flesh that you're going to live forever, do you? You don't think it's, you know, you just don't think that's possible, right? I don't care how much you believe in cryogenics, okay? It's just like, woo-wee. I don't want to get thawed out. But I want to be warmed. And when we think about it, Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. If you look over in the 11th chapter of the book of Corinthians, and he says five times, by the Romans, I was given 40 lashes, save one. Three times shipwrecked. A day and a night was I in the deep. We only know about one of those shipwrecks. beatings often. He was even beaten and held in a city and given up for dead. And they let him down over the wall in a basket, and he survived. And the next thing you know, he's already given up his life to everything that he ever had in this life. And the next thing you know, he's back preaching to the same people that put him in prison.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you know what Jeremiah did when they took him out of the cistern, out of the prison house? He was sinking down in the cistern. It was a place where they kept water. And when they put him in there, all of the mud and the mire was in the bottom. And he told them that you must obey the Lord. So they put him in prison. Zedekiah brought him out and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. I want you to understand that there is a word from the Lord today. And you know what it is? It's the same word that he had yesterday. And that's what Jeremiah did. Well, Jeremiah, don't you know? That's going to get you thrown back into prison. He didn't care. Apostle Paul didn't mind the things of this life. How much of your life is spent in the cares and the trials and the tribulations of this life? How much of it is spent on things that you can't fix anyway? So Paul says, for our light affliction. You know what Apostle Paul knew? He compared his afflictions to the afflictions of the Lord. No man ever suffered like Jesus. All that Paul endured, he was just a man like me and you. Everything that came his way had come to men. And eventually he gave up his life for the gospel of the Son of God. I fought the fight, I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not me only, but all them that love his appearing. That's what all of the family of God have. But he said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I want you to think about the sunny day of your life. Whatever day that was. Whatever tranquil time you had, and you felt the full vigor of life. And then you go to church and some old hard-shell preacher say, but our life is a vapor. We grow up in the morning and are cut down in the evening. And our days are short. That sounds awful to a man in his great vigor, doesn't it? So Paul says our light affliction is but for a moment, because he knew one thing, that our life here is a vapor.
Amen.
And he knew that no matter what, that with the Lord's help he could not fail, that he would succeed by the grace of God, and that when his time was done, that God would cut that time short, that inasmuch as man's time on earth is short, his afflictions are short. Don't lament that your days on this earth are short, because I tell you that the old writer Solomon said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not. I know what evil days are. Old age suffering men and women know what the evil days are. The sight grows dim. The teeth fall out. The grinding is slow.
Sure.
You wake up at the sound of a bird. Yeah. Doesn't take nothing hardly to wake you up. You get old. You get frail. Frailties. My frailties, your frailties, will end. And when we think about the afflictions we have in this life, and we think about the troubles that we have, we've received all of those things as a course of this world. But the Apostle Paul says, but if For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What is he talking about? He says it doesn't. It's not saying that it's working out glory. It's not an earned glory. He said it worketh for us an exceeding weight of glory. The aged that are in here, do you feel glory pressing down? I do. Heaven's more real today than it's been before. You see, I know that the sufferings of this present time will never end. I know that the brightest days I have will be dotted with trials, tribulations, and persecutions. And I wait and I live for that which lifts me above the shadows, that lifts me above the cares, that restores my inward man. But I know this, that come sooner, come late, glory's my home. And that exceeding weight of glory presses down, that we long for it more and more. That I don't want to just be delivered from trouble for today. We get weary. I don't want to be just, and I want that today. But I want that deliverance that will never end. And the Apostle Paul says, we're distressed, we're perplexed, we have difficulties. These things press on us, and we may be relieved. But I assure you, they will arise again. But when I have that relief that lifts me from this old earth, you can sing LeVon Helm's song, "When the Hearse's Gonna Roll," and you can look and you can see. But remember this, for the saints of God, the clouds will part, and it'll be a joy to go.
Amen.
For there be no more pain, no more sufferings, no more tear-dimmed eyes, no more partings, no more rendings, no more persecutions, no more beatings, no more doubts, no more fears, no more of those things that lay us in the ditch from day to day. It will all be glory.
Amen.
By and by.
Amen.
May God bless you.
Amen.
370.
Thank you.